The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, read most often on the Sunday after Christmas, Paul tells us, when the perfect time had arrived, God sent his Son. Born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the adoption of sonship. Those words help us understand the verse that is in front of us as our acclamation verse today. God only has perfect, flawless, eternal timing in all things that he does. He spoke words to Adam and Eve, not leaving them wondering and wandering without understanding what would come of them as a result of their sin. He spoke of a moment in the future of a descendant that would arrive on earth to live amongst humanity for the purpose of crushing Satan's head, of undoing the curse that they had brought upon themselves. So all of history, remembering that God planned his creation and our redemption and salvation before this world began, before he spoke a single creating word, all of history revolves around that moment. It's really a 33 or so year long moment, but it's a moment. When God, in human flesh, walked this earth to accomplish God's ultimate purposes in creating in the first place, but ultimately in saving us for an eternity to live with him in fulfillment and glory. We watch our Savior walk from that city, that town of Nazareth, that formed him as the man he was. And we watch him walk the dusty roads of Judea and Samaria and do amazingly wonderful things. Speak powerfully with authority against demon and against disease, but also against sin and guilt. Proclaiming to a world that desperately needed to hear it God's message of unconditional, unrelenting grace and mercy and peace. Expressed through this one promise so long ago, now come into the world. And throughout his time doing that, he quieted the voices that most wanted to proclaim him to be the Messiah, because he knew what that would mean. He knew that that would mean so many would attach themselves to him with hope of glory, perhaps even this kind of glory, or this understanding of glory, but for all the wrong reasons. For only right now in this world blessings, rather than a focus on what comes after this life, which has to be better. He knew they would attach themselves to him to pursue the kind of glory that he had demonstrated. Glory that demonstrated power over death itself, over nature, over every last thing that attacks us and tempts us and twists us into the knots that our lives become day after day in this upside-down world that's anything but perfect and anything but following God and his desires in regard to how he created us and what his will is for living. No, it's been a struggle, it's been a battle, it's been a civil war inside of each one of us for every day of our living, every breath that we've taken. And so the glory that Jesus needed to reveal, the glory that Jesus needed to accomplish, was not a glory that human beings could understand in the moment that it was happening. He arrives with every detail in place. He even demonstrates that to his disciples by instructing them to go get the donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey, on which Zechariah had promised he would arrive. And the shouts and the proclamations, identifying him as the one prophecy had spoken of, coming for the purpose of God's salvation, thunder throughout the city of Jerusalem. The treatment he receives, the spectacle that he creates, is unlike any other parade of victory that you and I have ever witnessed, whether it's only with our minds as we read the accounts from the pages of history, or whether it's with our eyes what we've seen through modern-day media, movies, and other demonstrations of what it must have been like, or whether it's a victory parade following a war or a sporting contest. We have some inkling, we have some feeling of what those moments are like if we're not actually participating in them ourselves. But this moment was so different. This moment wasn't about a glory that would fade prior to the next moment of combat or the next game to be played. A momentary recognition of a momentary victory of a momentary champion that would only be recorded on the pages of history for those who really cared about it. This is a moment of eternal change, of fundamental spiritual moral change. A moment that would leave the world entirely different from every moment that had come before. Because this is the moment that Jesus enters Jerusalem to battle with Satan and temptation and every element of human brokenness to its full depths, experiencing abuse and persecution and abandonment so severe, so complete in its spiritual nature, that from the cross itself he identifies his understanding that his own Father has turned his face away from him. And for what purpose? For glory. You look at the man riding the donkey. You look at the central figure of the moment to which all this adulation is focused. You don't see a man celebrating. You don't see a man having conquered anything that he knows is yet to be his responsibility before the mission is complete. You see a man who's humble, who's intense in his investment and his understanding of all that is to come. This ride into Jerusalem becomes a walk around Jerusalem for almost a week that leads to a journey out of Jerusalem to a cross to which he will be nailed. None of that sounds like glory to anyone who reads it for the first time, not understanding what the outcome is. All that we see there, all that we experience as we gather day after day throughout this week is far more gory than glory at every turn. But we know what's coming. An empty tomb. An angel's proclamation. And everything making sense. To anyone who listens, to anyone who is captured in ear and heart and mind by the Holy Spirit's working through the Word, it all makes sense. How this moment of a week's time, encapsulating the purpose of that 33 years' time. This moment is when Jesus pursues glory. A glory beyond our understanding, a glory beyond our comprehending, but a glory we will experience. Not this side of death or eternity, but a glory that is real, a glory that is waiting for each and every one of us at the moment God has determined for each of us uniquely and individually, because God's timing isn't just perfect in regard to his one and only son. God's timing is perfect in regard to every last one of his children for whom his only son has paid the ultimate debt through his death, through the shedding of his holy precious blood, through his innocent voluntary giving up of his spirit and his life, as the ultimate act of humble service and profound glory. Let's take this journey together for all it is intended to be for us. Let's drink of the depths of all that Jesus drinks from that cup that he prayed his Father would potentially find another way, but have him drink. But then, knowing it be his Father's will, he drank it to the dregs. Anything but glorious to our eyes and minds, but everything that is glorious for the purpose of our eternal salvation. Walk with Jesus. Weep with Jesus. Pray with Jesus. Recognize you cannot suffer with Jesus because he suffered for you. Do not feel sorry for him, but earnestly follow. As you grow in your understanding of all that he was willing to do for you, how his pursuit of uncommon, unimaginable glory was one that meant everything that makes you whole again, everything that makes you eternal, everything that makes you deathless after the first death and resurrection. His glory is your glory. His moment is your moment. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Glorify him in every way he gives you opportunity on this journey, with the understanding that in the end, in the moment that he chooses, at the hour that is the perfect fulfillment of his plan for you, he will also glorify you. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be all the glory now and forever. Amen.